Brandon's Last Voyage. It was a stony kingdom on the west coast of Ireland, with the wind wailing and the roaring of Atlantic breakers, with strange men wandering and murmuring, Ishi Modrui Christ Magdei, my druid is Christ, the Son of God. One had always wished to wander farther, Brandon by name, and a name it was that had a sea in it. The breaking of waves and the memory of a poem the old men would speak on winter nights. Brandon thinks a great marvel it is to sail a boat on the clear sea. Brand's eyes see the waves of the sea. The sea waves shine in summer as far as the eyes of Brand can see. Brand loves to look upon the sea, the white sea broken by oars. There are men who are always ready to throw everything to the winds. Men who can look on life coldly and stake everything on a gesture. Brandon was one of those. God for him was the great gesture that had set everything in motion. Also a great idea sailing through space, brighter than the sun and the moon. Brandon built him a boat. He built it of 17 pieces, making first the framework of pliant wood, covering it with bull hides tanned in oak, smearing the hides with grease and resin, a boat light as a bird to ride the sea. When the boat was ready, firm and true, he gathered men about him, saying, this will be no pleasure cruise, rather the wildest of wild goose chases around the rim of the world and further. A peregrination in the name of God and the promise of white martyrdom. They pulled away from Ireland, heading north, oars dipping into blue water amid a caterwauling of gulls. The going was good and the rhythm sure. To the east was the land of the White Hills, and they passed by Islay and the Isle of Tyree, then Barra, the Youth, till they came to Lewis. At the Isle of Lewis they went ashore, walked around the ancient stones of Killarnish, then headed again for the open sea. The weather went grey and the sea grew gurly. Long days of rain, snow, sleet and wind. Surely this must be the very mouth of hell. Brandon at the prow crying into the greyness, Ishe Modrui Christ Magdei. The words lost in the grey wastes. Never letting up his holy chanting, he kept his eyes skinned for another island. Brandon's mind was full of islands. He had been born and raised among islands. The Hebrides he knew by heart, the Orkneys and the Faroes too. The world for him was all islands, and weren't the heavens themselves so made? He was looking for an island now, but so far north he'd never come. The world here was at an end. Here there was only sea and wind. At length he let loose one of his crows, and the crow made straight for the island of birds. Ka. Kayagai, aki, aki, branta, 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 crack, crack, crack. That island was noisier than a church. All the birds of the ocean had foregathered there. Gulls and redshanks and cormorants, kittiwakes, terns and guillemots, geese and gannets and skuas. Some perched on pinnacles of rock, others flying wildly about. It was a goodly sight. And music in Brandon's ears. They pulled up the boat on a bit of beach and, turning it into a shelter, settled down for the night. When Brandon awoke in the morning, he was looking askew in the eye, and it looked for all the world like his old teacher Mernach away back there in Munster. "Excuse me, Skew," he said. "Can you tell me how far we are from paradise. The skua gave a sturdy beat of its wings and stalked silently off. I thought so, said Brandon. Ah, it was beautiful, the northern blue and the clear white curling of the surf. Every mile was a broad blue page of vellum, and Brandon was working out the words. He thought in Latin, and he thought in Gaelic, murmuring, Farspa, in deserto, mu, trying for a freshness never found before. Brandon the voyager would be Brandon the poet, only if he could write a poem brighter and stronger than all other poems. A poem full of the rough sea and the light. Ha, the words for it. The words for a dawning. To build a boat is good. To sail the faraway seas is good. But to write a poem in which the minds of men could sail for centuries, that was his ambition now, with a long lifetime behind him. Brandanus Laboriosus, they'd call him, when he was a busy abbot of monasteries. True, he had always worked like ten. Brandon the worker, Brandon the mariner. He had his reputation, sure. But he'd felt it over there on Iona, when he'd been in talk with that Columba, the one who spouted poetry like a book, that somehow he was out beyond the pale. Beyond the pale of the literary folk, lacking their polish, their finesse. Columba the dove and Brandon the crow. Well, it wasn't polish and finesse he wanted. It was a freshness and a force and a beauty that they'd never known.